And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to a brand new week of the 9 till noon show. Yes, indeed, it's Tuesday, but we were off yesterday with it being a public holiday. Hope you had a good long weekend if you were working. Hopefully it didn't go too hard on you. If not, you're all refreshed and ready to go for another working week. We're going to keep you company here on the 9 till noon show for the next 3 hours. Coming up very shortly, we're going to hear directly from some of those doctors that are signatories on the latest letter coming from health professionals in Donegal seeking an urgent meeting with the health minister. This after Letterkenny University Hospital was overlooked for a surgical hub. These are the people on the cold face. They know best what is best for the people of County Donegal. We'll hear what they have to say. Coming up after 10, Community Garda information, where we'll bring you the very latest appeals and information from an Garda Síochána first here on the 9 till noon show. That and so much more besides. Anything you want to talk about as well? 086 60 25000, that's the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 07491 25000. And if you want to email, it's comments at highlandradio.com. We love to get your emails. If you're listening to the podcast or the overnight repeat, of course, feel free to get involved in the conversation. Email us or WhatsApp us and we'll pick up your messages and carry them through to the next live show. Right, so loads coming up, as you can imagine. So I better rattle on with the newspapers. And the Irish Times today, one of their lead stories, a man who opened fire in a busy Carlo shopping centre before fatally wounding himself was due to appear in court tomorrow to face 13 firearm and explosive charges after being arrested last year. Gardaí believe Evan Fitzgerald, 22, of Port Rushen, Kiltegan, County Carlo, who died at Fair Green Shopping Centre in Carlo Town on Sunday evening, was fearful of going to prison. Though he was described by sources as posing a danger due to his obsession with guns, he was also regarded as vulnerable. Assistant Commissioner Paula Hillman said what was meant to be a normal day out on a bank holiday weekend had become a terrifying experience for every person that was present at the shopping centre. Gardaí had opposed bail, but he was given bail. And, you know, it was interesting as that story was emerging on Friday, I believe it was. Was it Friday? Or Saturday, I'm confused because of the weekend. But anyway, I became aware of it very, very quickly with contacts down in Carlo. But it was just interesting to see on social media now. There's no real attempt to try and get to the truth anymore. It was like, you know, 9 people have been shot and that it was an active shooter, even though the situation at that stage had been brought under control. And a lot of pushback on the media, and the Gardaí effectively very quickly putting out that the person was a white Irish male. A lot of people going, well, why would you do that? But I suppose if you stand back and look at it logically, there was so much, as always happens now, on social media. And if you're not on social media, you're probably immune somewhat to this. But instantly, the person was being described as being from outside Ireland, things were being said and so on and so forth. And I suppose, given the fact that we've seen what we've seen in terms of, you know, rioting or public protest, a tough call, but probably the right thing to get his nationality out there early, because you could already see on social media things beginning to get whipped up, which is just the way things are now. We don't focus on the tragedy, or we don't focus on the event itself. It's really the noise around it that becomes the story now, as I say, particularly on social media. The Irish Independent has an extensive report on the worst black spots revealed as children left waiting years to see psychologists. And it's a better picture in Donegal in this area. And I think that's down to community campaigns and what have you. But anyway, more children are now waiting longer to see a psychologist or speech and language therapist, as new figures reveal that where children live influences how fast they get an appointment. The number of children waiting more than a year to see a psychologist has risen from over 3,900 in 2021 to almost 11,000 at the end of last year. That's a jump of around 7,000. The delays for children and teenagers under 18 vary per county. The South Lee District in Cork City has been worst hit, as 1,393 face a wait of over a year to see a psychologist, compared to just two on the waiting list in Leash, Offaly, and an empty list in Louth. Other parts of the country with high numbers of children waiting over a year to be seen include Dublin West, Galway, Cavan, Monaghan, Mayo and Longford West Meath. The data was released by the HSE in a parliamentary response to Marie Shields, Labour Health spokesperson. In Donegal, 86 children were awaiting in October 21. That was down to 28 in December 2024, which is quite an improvement. And whilst 28 families are going through that waiting process, it has to be said that it's much lower than in other parts of the country. And as I say, I think whilst it's not perfect, that is down to a lot of campaigning by loved ones of those affected by that. There's always a lot of interest in the disappearance of Madeleine McCann, and I think because of the family holidaying in Donegal and holidaying quite soon before her passing, there's a particular interest in this part of the world. Land near the former home of the main suspect in the disappearance of Madeleine McCann is to be searched by police this week. Last night, roads were closed and tents set up between the resort in Portugal, where the three-year-old vanished on May 3rd, 2007, and a house nearby where Christian Bruckner once lived. Prime suspect Bruckner, 48, is imprisoned in Germany, serving 7 years for rape, and the request for yet another search was made by German police. It's not clear if they're acting on a tip-off, but a well-placed Portuguese source said the search will take place on 21 privately owned pieces of land, which in some cases are not fenced off. Wells, ruins and water storage tanks will be searched, and you would hope for the family that something might be found, but we see so often, don't we, when these searches, these historical searches take place, that very often nothing is turned up. But we hope, obviously, you would always hope that some resolution to that missing person's case is found. The Irish Daily Star today: worrying figures. Hospitals treated more than 50,000 people for self-harm between 2020 and 2023. The figures were released by the National Self-Harm Registry Ireland in reply to a door question from the Leash Offaly TD Carol Nolan. It records and reports information about presentation to EDs and is operated by the National Suicide Research Foundation. Junior Health Minister Mary Butler said self-harm rates are stable year on year and there has been a decline in recent years. While there is much more to be done, it is reassuring that the rate did not increase across 22 and 23, and we now know self-harm rates did not increase during the COVID-19 pandemic. But 50,000 people being seen in hospital over a course of 3 years for self-harm is a figure I wouldn't have imagined, but there you are. A very sad news emerging over the weekend, and it's led to tributes that have been paid to a champion swimmer who died in hospital after becoming unwell at the finish line of the Cork City Marathon. Ellen Cassidy, just 24, fell ill about 1 p.m. on Sunday after she completed the Hearth Marathon. She was tended to at the scene by medics before being transferred to Cork University Hospital by ambulance and was pronounced dead a short time later. Ellen was a champion swimmer who joined Dolphin Swimming Club in Mayfield on the north side of the city when she was just nine. In a post on Facebook, the club said Ellen made a tremendous impression on everyone she met. A spokesperson wrote, "Ellen swam through life with grace, strength and passion." They also described her as a positive role model for all the young swimmers. Ellen competed on behalf of her club for Munster and for Ireland as well. And also another young lady passed away, Olivia Toohey. She died after the Edinburgh Half Marathon, another young Irish woman. And finally, on to the Irish Sun. And again, if I were to ask you how many Irish people sent mass cards following the passing of Pope Francis, would you say 200, 300, 400? Well, the figure's 4,000. Almost 4,000 mass cards from Irish people following the Pope Francis death have been sent to the Vatican. Ireland's Augustical Nuncio Archbishop Louis Mariano Monti Mayor and on posts Mark O'Neill made the package ready for direct delivery in Rome yesterday. It comes after a deluge of customer queries about where mass cars might be sent. OnPost then offered to provide free delivery for those who wanted to send cards to the Vatican. But 4,000 of you out there across the country sending mass cards to the Vatican following the passing of Pope Francis. Quite a big figure indeed. Okay, it is the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio. Our first guests will join us very shortly. Over 100 senior doctors from Letterkenny University Hospital and local GPs have issued an urgent call for a meeting with Minister for Health Jennifer Carroll McNeill to address what they describe as a critical threat to patient care and health equality in the Northwest. As you would know, despite being the sole hospital serving the entire county of Donegal, Letterkenny University Hospital has been excluded from consideration as the location for the new surgical hub planned by the HSE. Instead, Sligo University Hospital has been put forward as the sole preferred option, a decision the clinicians call flawed, unjustified and deeply damaging. Now, I don't think anyone wishes to preclude Sligo University Hospital for having a surgical hub, but it certainly, why does it have to be either or, I think is the place where we're at. Okay, to discuss this, I'm joined on the programme by a couple of guests. Firstly, Dr. Anya Keating, Consultant Emergency Medicine at Letterkenny University Hospital and spokesperson for Concerned Consultants and GPs of Letterkenny University Hospital. Dr. Keating, thank you very much for your time.
Good morning and thank you for the opportunity to speak on your show, Greg.
No, it's such an important issue. We'll also be speaking to Dr. Kira Steele, as you would know, a GP in Buncrana. Good morning, Kira. Thank you for your time.
Good morning, Greg, and thank you.
Right, Dr. Keating, I'll start with you, if that's okay. One of the things that is actually hard to believe in all of this, and we'll get into the nitty-gritties of it, is that it seems to be that population was used as one of the main criteria for Sligo being chosen over Letterkenny. And I've tried to crunch the figures and look at it every which way. And it all adds up to the fact that that doesn't seem to make any sense. Can you make any sense of that?
You're absolutely right, Greg. It doesn't make any sense because the statistics and the data doesn't back the decision that is being proposed to put Sligo ahead of Letterkenny in terms of getting a surgical hub. We believe that decision-making process is flawed and unjustified. And when you do look at the statistics, it's very obvious to everyone living in Donegal, it is much larger population. And even the integrated health area that it serves is still much larger. Even if you combine the population of Sligo, Leitrim and Cavan, it still doesn't add up to the same amount of people that live in Donegal. Letterkenny University Hospital serves over 160,000 people and patients. So if we do not get a surgical hub in Letterkenny, that means we don't get resources, infrastructure. But critically, we will really struggle to recruit and retain surgeons. And if we cannot do that, this means for the population that we will not be able to do emergency surgery and the hospital will essentially downgrade. What does that mean to everybody out there in our community? Well, that means if you have a perforated appendix at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. or any time of day, you will be bypassed from Letterkenny and have to probably travel as far as Sligo or Galway to try and get emergency care. But patients don't know what's wrong with them sometimes when they come in, and that's our job to figure that out. But they're often with these sort of conditions, they're time sensitive and they need their emergency surgery as quickly as possible. So if they're not able to get this, death, it could be on the cards for them. You know, this is as stark as it is. It doesn't get much worse than this, Greg.
So would the surgical hub then have been seen as, you know, a commitment to Letterkenny University Hospital, a pathway towards the future? Because really, correct, whilst we haven't received the surgical hub, right, nothing has changed. So why would we see this tailing off then of services?
So the surgical hub brings a resource and infrastructure to the area, which is badly needed. So as you're aware, when you're in a hospital, there is an acute need for beds at all times. So elective care gets cancelled. The surgical hub is a freestanding unit that's pre-designed. It takes about 24 months to be implemented, usually looking at what's happened nationally here with implementation in Galway, Limerick, Cork and Dublin. So we're looking at a very fast turnaround. And with that, if you're trying to recruit surgeons, which Letterkenny is trying to do imminently, that they would see that this structure is available, that they can do their day cases, and their day cases and their electives aren't getting cancelled ahead of the acute bed pressures that A&E, our department, is putting in on the rest of the hospital. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So it's a really basic need. Like, Letterkenny is the second busiest Model 3 hospital in the whole of Ireland. So Drogheda, outside Dublin, which is a large urban area, is the busiest Model 3. And then we are the second busiest Model 3. If you want to do it in the context of all the hospitals in Ireland, we're the sixth busiest. We cannot afford to fail in this hospital. But it seems that if we are not invested in properly, there's a real risk of this hospital downgrading. And there's a real risk of the service collapse.
Yeah. If you look then at the proposed developments in Sligo, so the surgical hub has been improved for Sligo, fantastic for them.
Yeah.
There's also other investments in providing extra beds and new equipment and what have you. And you see also a list of investment that is due to take place in Galway University Hospital. You know, anyone from the outside looking on would say, right, okay, the HSE locally see a future in these facilities because they're investing big into those.
Yes.
And then conversely, if you were to look at what's happening in Letterkenny University Hospital being overlooked with this strange argument of population being used, and then you see what's coming down the line, you know, some work on health and safety and fire and all that, which is very, very important, don't get me wrong. But in terms of the medical future of it, as I say, just step away, come down from another planet and look on. What is the commitment to Letterkenny University Hospital from the HSC? Because it seems to be that the medical solution for patients here is in Sligo or Galway going forward.
Correct. That would seem as to what it is, Greg. And that's why 170 clinicians have signed this letter towards Minister McNeill to urge her to reconsider any decisions that have been made to her on recommendations by the HSE regarding the implementation of a surgical hub in Sligo for the Northwest, because we feel that this is real danger for Letterkenny and this could end up causing a downgrade. We don't have to go too far to see when this has happened. If you look back to 2022 in Enniskillen, they lost their surgical services and essentially their emergency department was downgraded, because once you lose a surgeon, you can't operate an emergency department, you can't operate maternity services. So the whole hospital got downgraded and those patients now have to face long travel times to Altnagalvin or Craigavon. And if they do arrive in Enniskillen, they have to wait there and they have to wait for a lengthy period of time before they're accepted by the surgical team up in Altnagalvin. And as we know, in Altnagalvin is snowed under with the pressure they are facing because of the overcrowding situation. Again, in Ireland, we don't need to go far to look to see what happened down in Limerick. Limerick has absorbed the closure of Ennis and Nina, and that has caused a massive overcrowding issue in their emergency department and in their hospitals, and that untimely and unjustified death of a young girl. And that has resonated towards Ireland, and I really hope that we do not face the same issue here in Donegal, but I fear it will happen. And as doctors and as in this area, we just want to wish the public are aware, and we want to warn the public that this could happen if we don't protect our services here in Donegal.
If that does trouble the public, it is the reality is you have to back these people. You have to back these medical professionals in it, because it's a very powerful voice, but the public voice is incredibly powerful as well. And whilst you might not be in hospital at the moment, or maybe you haven't been in hospital in the last 6 months or a year, and fantastic, but if you have, you're far more invested in this. And that's a problem, I think, in getting public support, that unless you're directly affected by health, you kind of seem to overlook the issue. Now, I should point out at this stage, we're in this, it's kind of bizarre but fortuitous too at the same time. The Minister for Health still has not received the business case. So we're having a conversation as if this is a fait accompli. The Minister was very quick to point out to me during a recent visit. In fact, she kind of, you know, recoiled a little bit in saying that decision hasn't been made. I haven't been notified of this decision. She still hasn't, which means there is an opportunity here potentially for her to see this case and maybe review. And I'll be honest with you, I think it'd be very worthwhile for her office to actually do a full review of the decision-making process. Because we're this is live, so there's a great opportunity. I'll come back to you if that's okay in a moment, Anya. But I do want to bring in Dr. Steele here. I mean, as a you know, you're at the coal face, and there's lots going on, but you're also trying to convince patients that they need to go to the hospital, and they're saying to you, I'm not going down there. We need to get past this. But anyway, we'll come to that in a moment. What's your what's your view in all of this, Dr. Steele?
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose there's three main points that I want to make. First of all, that there's an incredible amount of unity saying that it's absolutely necessary for this surgical elective unit to be placed in Letterkenny. There's unity among politicians, there's unity among clinicians, and that's GP and hospital clinicians, because we understand that there's a very serious clinical care impact for every man, woman and child in Donegal that's accessing the hospital service in Letterkenny. It's not just travel time, which is significant. It's not just the fact that the decision is questionable based on the parameters that were given to make the decision, and because the population and demographics don't support that, but it's also that there will be migration of surgical personnel in Letterkenny Hospital to other sites because they can't do elective surgery in Letterkenny at the moment. And if there is more opportunity in other sites, the personnel won't be recruited in Letterkenny to support surgical services. Now, that means breast care. We've already lost our breast surgeon to Galway. We've already had another replacement surgeon decline an opportunity to work in Letterkenny because of the lack of opportunity for elective surgery. We've already lost a urologist, Mr. Aslam, who declared that one of the reasons for leaving was the lack of opportunity to do elective surgery. So we already know that the situation is critical. Without any devolvement of services biased to Sligo, without replacement in Letterkenny as well. So what we're saying is that there's a flawed decision here that we need 100%, absolutely, and no question. Everybody is united in stating that Letterkenny needs an elective surgical unit for the preservation and sustainment of services in Letterkenny. And it's not just that nothing will happen if we don't get it. It will be critically impactful if we don't get it. So what that means is already we have people on waiting lists, really long waiting lists. I personally had a patient that was on the waiting list for cholecystectomy, lap choly. So that's an elective. That's an elective procedure. Developed cholecystitis and sepsis, and then developed a stroke. Now this patient was on a waiting list for a pretty routine elective surgery, but there's incapacity to facilitate all of the elective surgeries within the designated Sláinte care timeframes because the elective surgeries are constantly being cancelled to cater for urgent and emergency care.
Yeah, so I just want to clarify too, just explain what elective surgery is, because I think maybe people think elective is something that you choose and it sort of has a nicer ring to it, right, than being rushed into the operational room.
So you could say non-urgent for elective surgery, or you could say planned. Okay, so the elective surgery units are based on the Reeves model in Tala Hospital, and that all the units are pre-formed, they're pre-planned. They're pre-staffed and they come with staffing and funding in a particular unit. So they cater for 10,000 planned surgeries per year in one of these elective units. So that is going to take the pressure, which we know is in existence, off the urgent care in Letterkenny. And it's astounding that the HSE didn't consider Letterkenny as a primary site, given that we raised these concerns as GPs only a year ago.
And it was quite literally contained within it, calling for this and outlining the importance of it. Dr. Keating, you know, I don't want to trivialise things at all, and I'm not. But, you know, if you've got a child and, you know, they want something and you sort of promise them something else to try and appease them so you can have a couple of minutes, you know, peace and quiet, some people might feel that that's kind of what's happened on a county-wide scale with this ambulatory centre. Don't be disappointed about the surgical hub. This is bigger and better. But the truth be told, at the moment, it's a sketch on a wall. There is no progress in that whatsoever. The HSE hasn't committed funding. This could be years and years and years away. And maybe it's someone's legacy project. I don't know what the story is. But as a medical professional, when you're being told, and you're being told equal to me, you're not getting a surgical hub, but hold your horses because you're going to get an ambulatory centre, which is bigger and better. What's your reaction to that?
We would welcome an ambulatory care centre, and it is much needed. And when it ever comes, it will be used and the patients will be there to, and it'll be great for the County of Donegal. However, it is not a replacement for a surgical hub. As you said, there's actually no funding for this. There's no plan for this. There's no timeline for this ambulatory hub. And when you look historically at how long it takes to actually develop an ambulatory hub or any sort of building in the HSE processes, you're looking at a good 7 years. And actually, if we go back to 2011, 2012, consultants signing contracts for the hospital at that stage were promised an ambulatory care hub, and it never materialised. So I would just err with caution to any suggestions. I think it might be a little bit of smokes and screens going on that this ambulatory care hub is going to fix all our problems. There's no tangible timeline for it, and there's no funding behind it. With regards to the surgical hub, these are pre-designed. Essentially, they're already kind of approved at HSE level. All you have to do is the contractor comes in and builds it. And this already happened in several other areas of Ireland, and it's done in a very time efficient manner. So this is actually tangible. This is real, you know, developing.
It's costed, isn't it? 60
capacity,
million.
Not there, just some vague alternative. Yeah.
It's there or there about 60 million. We know how to build it. We know how much it costs roughly. It's quite, you know, it's not, it's relatively simple.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it comes with the funding, and it comes with the staffing alongside it. So this is all huge, huge funding, and it is an excellent, it is essentially, surgical hub is an excellent idea, and it is kind of preposterous as to why it wasn't, in Letterkenny, wasn't ever even considered.
Dr. Steele, you wanted to come in there?
The ambulatory care unit, the plan for that doesn't exist at the moment. So that has to go through design tenders, architect tenders, building tenders. And we know how long that takes because we're waiting 4 years for a lab extension, you know, which is an extremely small unit. So, you know, we know that these promises take, you know, can sometimes be sidelined. For example, the endoscopy unit, it was 13 years we're waiting on it there. You know, at the moment, there's a unit in the car park, a mobile unit that's being rented when there was funding allocated 13 years ago by James Riley for the endoscopy unit. At that time, there was 10, that was a business plan for 10,000 endoscopies a year. Currently, there's 16,000 endoscopies a year. So the care needs of the hospital in Letterkenny are growing exponentially all the time. This is a unit that can be delivered in 24 months. It 100% needs to be in Letterkenny. If HSE want to bring an ambulatory care unit down the road, we very much welcome that. If HSE want to have a surgical elective unit site on Sligo, we very much welcome that. But what we're saying is 100%, and we're all united from all stakeholders and health in this community in Donegal, that there needs to be an elective surgical site in Letterkenny delivered.
Dr. Keating, must be very difficult for the staff down there. I presume there's an imbalance of staff in terms of, you know, those that are learning the ropes, those that are experienced. You know, you look at what we're talking about now, you look at sort of a historical level of underfunding in the hospital, and then you see Sligo sort of emerging with the bells and whistles, so to speak. And again, no one wants anything taken from Sligo. That's not the purpose of the conversation. It's why not to?
On the ground floor, you know, it does seem that this is actually just a basic healthcare right. This is about patient equity and safety. We're not looking to take away from Sligo. We're looking to get our patients that we see day on day out the right care and the safe care that they need. It's just as basic as that, Greg. And it's unfortunate that 170 doctors had to come out and say it, but we really believe that we're at a crux and at a real crucial time, and we really need to get this message across to the Minister and to the HSE that we need support here in Donegal and that we need the resources in order to make sure that we're delivering safe and good clinical care.
I'm willing to meet the Minister, you know, to put forward, you know, the clinicians.
Well, I think she'd be flabbergasted, Ciara. I think, because I think, you know, I was able... I mean, obviously, a minister, when they visit areas, they're briefed about certain things. They can't know everything about everywhere. Yeah. And some of the questions she seemed almost taken aback from. I can't imagine that this minister could sit in front of a sample of that 170 and go, this is crazy. I didn't know this was going on.
And I'd just like to say, like, we are talking about the surgical side of things, but the elective hub provides surgical space in minor procedures for dermatology. And we know there's a deficit in dermatology service. You know, it's very difficult to recruit a dermatology service specific to the site in Letterkenny. So it will provide minor surgery procedures for skin cancers, you know, on the site as well. So it has the option for service development in gynecology, ophthalmology and D&T as well. And these are all service developments that have happened in the Reeves, development of the surgical elective site and the primary site in Tala. So, you know, that's a template. And what we're saying is, this is, if we refuse the opportunity to fight for this, there's two things that will happen. Service development will stall, but the negative impact will be massive. And it can't be underestimated that we can't lose our cancer services here in Letterkenny just because we can't recruit surgeons to resect solid tumours electively. I mean, that's massive.
And I think sometimes when people, that's probably a good example of what closing something by stealth looks like. You're not actually closing it. You're not making a decision to close it. But factors lead to services being withdrawn. We can't staff it. We've been advertising these jobs for years. No one wants to come up here. And it can kind of sometimes look like the HSE's insulated because from the outside in, they're I want to ask you a question, Dr. Keating, as well. And I don't know how to phrase this. I'm not being talking about personalities or anything here. And if there's no answer, there's no answer. But was there a role from the hospital to argue the case for this? Right. So we had a year ago doctors and consultants saying we need a surgical hub. But then this issue was raised very recently at a HSE forum meeting. And the general manager at that meeting was speaking only about this ambulatory centre. I didn't hear any reference to what effort was made to campaign from a managerial level for a surgical hub. It was talking about how, hold on, this ambulatory centre is bigger and better. It's a surgical hub plus, 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 right? So, you know, are we confident? I mean, obviously, as I say, through the letter last year, you guys made your position very clear. But are we confident locally we were championing Letterkenny University Hospital as a surgical hub?
Thank you for that question. I think, you know, it came to, you know, this came to fruition I came aware that the surgical hub was being put forward for the Northwest for Sligo maybe about 2 years ago. The rumour mill was starting then. And I think, you know, that has been kind of, say, the HSE and the sales management have clearly signalled a preference for Sligo and the final recommendations are imminent. However, you know, as concerned clinicians, we've disputed that. And we obviously know that the statistics behind Letterkenny stack up more in favour of Letterkenny due to geography, due to population needs and healthcare needs as well. So I think then when the Oreo, the Celta Group, suggested an ambulatory care hub, this would also obviously allow for the cancer services and some of the haematology services to be backed in on that. But there is just, you know, from a reality point of view, and we as clinicians on the ground work in reality, you know, that the surgical hub is a lot more achievable than this ambulatory care facility that has only, as you say, is only a plan on a wall with no actually tendering processes done and is about at least 7 years and actually over 10, 15 years ago was promised and never delivered. So I think in reality we're being promised something, but in reality I don't know if it'll ever be achieved. So what we want to make sure is that we're actually getting some resources into the county, because we know we're at a critical crossroads and we can't stand back and let it happen. Mm-hmm. We have to fight for this at this moment in time. And as 170 doctors in the hospital and in the community, we're forthright in saying that this is what we demand, and we demand better healthcare for the patients in Donegal.
Finally, from you, I want to come back specifically to you, Ciara, and I'll give you the last word. Just finally from you, Dr. Keating.
Yeah.
Last year in the letter, we were at crisis point. You know, we're in a critical situation. We're a year on, crisis point, critical situation. How long can we limp on? I know you can't timeline
I think,
it.
I appreciate your question. And I think there are opportunities here. Like, I think, you know, we have a fantastic bunch of clinicians here. We're all working together. And that's a massive thing. Never in the history of the Irish state have you seen 170 clinicians come together and sign a letter looking, we all want this to work. Believe me, we're all energized. We all want this to work. And to get that support from the government would energize us, Greg. And I know that Mr. Michael Sugru is actually being commissioned to write a Model 3 Letterkenny clinical care report. And he has finalized that. It's in draft form and it has been submitted to the head of the CLTA group for review. And in that, it outlines the key steps we need to take as a hospital to push the hospital forward and make sure it doesn't fall behind again and make sure it doesn't fall behind the rest of the country. So we have a plan in place. We just need the support from the government now and we need them to listen to us.
And you need the support from the HSE regionally actually to argue that that report, whenever it's produced, should be implemented. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? The HSE locally, CLTA, they have to take that on board and use Sugru as a battering ram, Mr. Sugru as a battering ram. I don't know what way you would phrase it, but it can't sit in a desk. Very finally, before I go back to Dr. Steele, if you could speak directly to the health minister today, what would you say to her?
Minister McNeill, I would like you just to defer any decision-making process that has gone around the surgical hub. I need you to look at the empirical data. I need you to use evidence base and compare the statistics of the population and the healthcare needs of patients in Donegal versus Sligo and when you decide where this hub for the Northwest will go. And you need to understand the consequences of not implementing a hub in Letterkenny and how that would affect recruitment of talented surgeons to the area and the future of the hospital would be compromised.
All right. Powerful stuff. Thank you very much indeed. I very much do appreciate your time. Dr. Ciara Steele, what do you want to say?
I just want to reiterate that there is distribution deficits, which are historical and still seem to be current in the funding, and that anybody who makes a decision to say wait for services to come into Letterkenny, that's a flawed rationale because there's an impact in waiting. And we can see that on our patients every day. We can see that the patient waiting for a hernia repair that has a strangulated hernia, and we can see that for patients geographically that are have another patient that finds it hard to travel with macular degeneration and because of social factors, you know. So what we're saying is that there's impacts in waiting for delivery for an ambulatory model that at this point in time is a figment of somebody's imagination, which may become fruitful at the end of the day, but we want real deliverable health care improvements that are required now, and that is the elective surgical hub in Letterkenny. And anybody that is not taking that into account with respect to the demographics, the deprivation index, the care needs, the geography, the isolation of Letterkenny, we'd need to question whether they're advocating for Letterkenny Hospital at all.
And just finally, on a local level, drilling it down to your surgery, as best as you try and as best as Dr. Anya try, this has to affect people's prognosis, their outcomes. You already cited a very specific example of how someone's situation was allowed to deteriorate. It might not have happened if in a different part of the country with different resources. That's not acceptable. We can't accept that as Donegal people, can we?
No, I mean, I think Donegal is one of the worst 5-year cancer survival rates in the country, and that needs to be improved, not further impacted. You know, we have, half the funding of Sligo Hospital for literally the same amount of acute admissions. You know, there has been historically a sort of unequal distribution of funding to Letterkenny. That needs to change, not get worse. You know, so like it impacts all outcomes, it impacts acute care because of the fact that people are having worsening conditions, sitting on waiting lists, which are one of the longest in the country for first appointments and for review appointments. And, you know, it's, at this point in time, we're really, really worried for the standards of clinical care based on political decisions. And that's why we've all stood together. The politicians in the area are for this. The GPs are for this based on clinical need, not political decisions, but based on clinical need that we see within the community, based on what we see by saying goodbye to so many consultants who move because of lack of capacity to do elective surgery or onerous rotas. And, you know, the Model 3 report will lay this out in great detail for all departments, not just the surgical unit. But what we're saying to people is people in Donegal tend to be really resilient, really stoic, and just actually get on with things. But what we're saying is you can't actually do that with this. This decision is the pebble that causes the ripples, that causes the tidal wave of collapse of surgical services in Letterkenny. And we just want people to be aware of that.
And if you're 35 or 40 and in good health now and you don't think this affects you, it does. Because what kind of a hospital will be there when you need that assistance?
Well, I just have to tell you that my patient that had a serious consequence was in their 40s.
Okay, I'll get you. Yeah, I understand. I'm just trying to... I'm just trying to tap into the apathy that sometimes is there in the area of health.
Sorry.
Not at all, Kira. That's why we invite you on. It's a pleasure to speak to you. And I think, I hope, I have faith in this health minister. You know, I don't know where it's coming from, but I think, I just feel that when she looks at the data, that she won't ignore this. I'm not saying it means that we might get a surgical hope. I don't know. But I would be of the view that I would like to give her a chance to actually listen to what you guys have to say, because she does seem to be a common sense minister.
Yeah. And I think that the decision to introduce a surgical hub into the Northwest followed on from the argument that the six other hubs were based on a line between Galway to Dublin. Now, they are all within like an hour and a half of each other. And there's advantages to that, you know, so there's advantages to that as well. But like, we are 100% certain that centralising a hub, if there's to be only one, needs to happen in Letterkenny. But we would prefer there to be two sites.
Yeah, for sure. Dr. Steele, thanks very much indeed. Take care of yourself. All right. Very significant. It's very, very significant. As I say, the minister not available this morning. She's still not received the business case, and hopefully that business case gets scrutiny. As you can imagine, we invited various politicians on, government TD Patrick Gallagher. He agrees with this case and is doing all he can to ensure the hub comes to Letterkenny. I think he's preferring to maybe work on this behind the scenes. I don't know. I think the people of Donegal would like to hear from all of our TDs, be they Fianna Fáil or Sinn Féin or others. He says, though, he's meeting with the HSE in the next 2 weeks and will be putting Donegal's case very strongly at that table. The HSE, it's the health minister at this point. The HSE have made their views clear on Donegal, I think. Did we invite Minister McConnell on, Caroline? No, we shall. We shall invite him to see if he'll come on and speak about it. So Patrick Gallagher refused an invite onto the show. We know Charlie McConnell's view of me in the show, so he may not come on. But I think outside of defective concrete, and for some equal to it, this is the biggest story in Donegal. This is about lives. There's not anything bigger than this, really. You know, the medical professionals are exacerbated. This is the biggest story. I know it might seem not, you might be listening at home and don't think so, but trust me, it is. This is our lives, our kids' lives, our mums and dad lives, our granny and granddad's lives. Their outcomes. It doesn't get any bigger than this. This determines how long you survive with cancer. This determines whether you get better from cancer. This determines how quickly you're seen if you're in a road traffic collision. It doesn't get any bigger than this. So outside of the housing crisis, this is it. This is huge. This is life and death. And I'm not exaggerating it. It is. Hopefully you're in good health. You don't have to go near the hospital. But we're hearing directly from the people involved in local GP care and from those working within the hospital themselves. Dr. Anya Keaton, a consultant in emergency medicine, speaking directly from the front line. Dr. Kira Steele, a GP in Buncrana. They are just two of 171 medical professionals that are really, really concerned about your outcomes if you were to get sick or need treatment. As I say, in my view, it does not get any bigger outside of the awful housing crisis that we have through defective concrete blocks. Okay, very interested in your calls and comments coming in relation to the last item. I'll be taking clips from that and sending them to the Health Minister's office. I'm sure she will come across it one way or other anyway, because we do have a big reach on socials, because we stream the show on X and Facebook, and it generally finds the eyes and ears of those who make decisions. But if that doesn't work, certainly I'm going to post some of the clips from that piece, tag the minister in. So, you know, ignorance can't be a defence. Ignorance in that sense, by the way, it means a lack of knowledge of a situation. It doesn't mean ignorance in the more derogative way. The weather today will be breezy, scattered showers and sunny spells. Highest temperatures of 12 to 14 degrees with a moderate to fresh and gusty southwest to west breeze. We can't reach every GP or every consultant or every medical professional. If you want to have a say on that yourself, if you work in medicine, if you feel the situation needs to be driven home a little bit further, please feel free to contact us, 07491 25000. As I say, you know, not wishing to scare anyone, but we can't bury our heads in the sand. There's a small window here. You've heard from medical professionals. It's not me. You've heard from the campaigners who've been on about this for years and years. Apparently, this is all my fault, by the way, because I'm encouraging unfettered foreigners coming to Donegal, and that's the years of underfunding at the hospital and the surgical hub not coming to Letterkenny. Apparently, it's funny how people always find a way to try and pin something to their own interest. You should also factor into that, listener, that half of the working staff down there are people from outside Ireland, and we'd be completely banjaxed if it wasn't for them. Focus on, I would suggest, you know, HSE management, the health minister, you know, rather than the other stuff, because you're just giving people a pass there. Would Donegal TDs resign their seats to cause an election, as this, like defective concrete, is just another terrible kick between the legs for anyone living in Donegal? I'm sure the doctors who are respected throughout the county can get Donegal people onto the streets, but I fear that Donegal people will be ignored again by the 100-year-plus Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and Friends government. There's been lots of different parties in government as well, all elected by the people. Congratulations to Greg on a great interview. If Highland Radio keeps highlighting the hospital, hopefully we can get the surgical hub in Letterkenny. Keep up the good work, from a Milford listener. Well, sometimes people think we overdo it. But I mean, like, I have a platform here, and I know from speaking to people from within the hospital how dire the situation is, how worried they are for people. You know, if this is the hill that I die on, that's all right. I'm prepared to do that. But this is really, really important. This is our lives and our health and our futures and our children's futures as well. It is really, really quite significant. Greg, can you not get a council person to say a few words to put their weight behind us? Yeah, well, as I say, the lines are open to them as well. We can't reach out to everybody, you know, for obvious reasons, but no one's excluded. Everyone's invited. We'll be speaking, I think, to Sinn Féin reps in the next hour about that issue. As I say, so far, government TDs have opted not to speak to us, and that is their democratic God-given right. But just off the back of a couple of texts, I'm letting you know that that's the reason why you're not hearing these voices. News is on the way.